ministry of Lighthouse Christian Outreach Center. Our vision, bringing people into the full realization of their potential in God, and our mission, building a community of believers whose lifestyle positively influences change in the society. Welcome to Lighthouse. The Lighthouse, House 7, Plot 2/3, Kudrata Biola Way, Oregun, Ikeja, Lagos. For inquiries, please log on to www.lighthouseng.org.
Let's receive Dr. Tunde Odusote.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise the name of Jesus. It's an honor to be here. And I thank you, Pastor Reverend, for the function of late. I think you made my work very easy. Pastor Shee, nice to see you again. My brother, my books. Ali, I'm sure you don't know that I know, but I know you are my books. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Father, we just thank you for the ministry of your word. We thank you for even this season that we have. Lord, we just ask that, Lord, building on the foundation that's been laid line upon line, precept upon precept, we ask that you speak again to your people. Lord, I release myself to you, and I ask the grace upon my life to flow to help us to understand who you are and see you better in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. Before I actually start teaching, one of the things I do, sometimes God show me things. So Pastor, for lack of, please come. And you also come. What about you? There's a lady that was here, pregnant. Just come. You are singing. Just come. Okay. Your pastor's going to pay. They're going to pay for you. What I saw was that you need strength for the season. We need strength for the season. And they're going to pray for you for strength for the season. Just go ahead and pray for her. Mandaki la bro bande kadosta bragele indostu bragele shakaya bumbro kotososo. Mangela gralieja kushta brungela bososta bragele kada. Nagele indalosha kilabosha kilaboso koto. Megela brogela indoshakaya. Father, we say your strength is flowing to her. Your strength, Lord. Your strength, Lord. Your strength, Lord. In this season, your strength, in the name of Jesus. Lord, we thank you. Lord, we honor you. Mahaya bombra ete radizo zushta ki bombra di do sapragile boso tokoto. Megele endo ronde sucha gila boso sokoto. Father, we thank you. Lord, we give you glory. Sometimes God does interrupt or show you things, and I believe this is a believer's meeting, so whatever God says to do, we'll do. Amen? I think it's in order, right? Amen. So the text I believe we will know is Hebrews 2, verse 9 and 8. Can you please bring up that for me before I go into the message of the blood covenant? And like I said, I'm going to also build on what a pastor started with. Let's start from verse 8, and then we'll end up in verse 9. I'll just say some few things about the scripture. For thou hast put all things in subjection under his feet. He's talking about Jesus here. For in that he put all things subject under him, he left nothing that is not under him, under Jesus. But now we did not see everything. Just stay with me, verse 8. Go back to 8 again. I've not finished. Say, but now we see not yet all things put under him. Go ahead, verse 9. So when you're talking about this one, we're talking about the church, actually. But we see Jesus. See, maybe you are here this morning, you say, well, these scriptures is wonderful. Everything's under my feet, but I'm not seeing everything under my feet. But God says, but we see Jesus. We see Jesus. See, Jesus is the pattern son, is the firstborn among many brethren. Whatever Jesus walked in, you and I can walk in it. So what we need to see that, if you are going through a season that is different from what you see in scripture, go back and look at Jesus, your pattern son. And if you just can walk in it, you know, everything like that, Pastor said, everything he did, it was for us, not for himself. So he did all that so that you can walk in the reality of what we're talking about, right? So I wrote in my note here, see, we don't see things the way they are. We see things the way we are. Somebody said that. We don't see the things the way we are, they are, but we see things the way we are. So that's why when you expose yourself to scripture or for conference like this, you are changed. You are changed. The Bible said, line upon pride, principle of precept. So your mind is changed. Your mind is renewed. And then you begin to internalize or see things the way your mind sees things. See, a conference like this make you see accurately, make you see well. So we see Jesus. So when we expose ourselves to the scriptures like this or to the conference like this, your mind is renewed and the way you see things are different. Amen? So my prayer is that after this meeting, our perception, our reality will be deeper. Because once you get to that level, people say there's a casting down. No, say, no, I can't see that. What I'm seeing is that they're lifting up. Why? Because your mind has been renewed by scripture. Praise the name of Jesus. So my topic today is the blood covenant. And I want to say this to you. If there's a good book that I found very useful preparing for this, is a book by E.W. Kenyon, The Blood Covenant. I recommend that you read that. E.W. Kenyon, The Blood Covenant. It's a good book that I find very useful while preparing this message. It's an old book I read before. So when I was told I'm going to do this, I said, let me go back to the book again and read and a few other scriptures. So I will comment to you that it's a good book to read. Amen? I'm sure for a lot of us as Christians, when you hear the blood covenant, what comes to your mind? It's not church, right? No, but I'm honest with us. If you're going to be real, when you hear blood covenant, you don't think about church. Do you think about church? You think about occulty power, those babalawos and stuff like that. You think about satanic rites. You think about, I'm above all of that, right? But you know that there's nothing original in Satan. It's a copycat. Whatever you see in the kingdom of darkness is a borrowed thing that he applied in his kingdom. So a lot of us as Christians, when we hear the blood covenant, we say, what are they talking about here? Are we going to the shrine? No. It's not about that. The truth is that our understanding of what the blood covenant stands for in the light of our salvation will elevate the realities we walk in life. Understanding of the blood covenant that we have in Christ will change the way we live. You see, the secret of the Jews, I can tell you this, is the understanding of the covenant. A Jew today understands what the blood covenant stands for. Unfortunately, the Church of Christ, the Instruments Church, does not understand the covenant, the blood covenant. Understanding of the blood covenant will, there's some faith that just gets out of the way. You just know. No, there's a knowing. No, there's a knowing. No. Let me, I'll say something about the occultic thing that you know to be true, and I'll say something about the church. Let's talk about the modern day thing that you can relate with easily. So this one will not fear, it's not scary, it's not out of the way that you say, this man, are we still in church? No. Do you know every document, legal document signed, there's a seal on it? And by chance it's red. Do you know that? You think it's by accident that it's red? No. Every document, legal document, your will, they will put a red thing and they will put a seal on it. And what that says to you, when you read that document and it's sealed that way, it means every condition in that document is valid and is binding. As long as you sign that document with that seal on it, you are saying, I'm committed to the instruction, to the demands of the document. That's what it means. It's a type and shadow of blood covenant, right? The shadow. So even if you want to, a lot of you don't know stamp, maybe you know magician, they know this. Do you know that if you have any document, you want it to stand very well, put a stamp there, regular stamp. I'm sure some of you don't know stamp. You don't know. Because the last time, I can tell you, the last time I bought stamp was so many years ago, I was supposed to sign a document. So the same way, when you put a stamp on any document and you sign on it, it's a covenant. From that moment, you are saying everything that the requirement document requires and bound by it. I cannot lose myself from it unless I beg. I say, I'm very sorry. But sometimes they did not say no. You cannot be released from that covenant. You can't. So, signing legal document with that seal of red is a block covenant. It's a shadow. It's a type. And the people understand that. But the church does not understand that. Some of the things I'm going to talk about is that it's the same way. You see, if you look at the occultic world, they don't do anything without the blood. You know that? Any agreement, there must be blood. You know, it is true. If it's not the blood of animal or goat, they say, okay, bring this goat. Every sacrifice, they say, bring this chicken, bring goat, bring ram, and all that. I said, when you bring it, we can use it to do the work. What they are saying is that you are signing a contract by the blood of the animal or the chicken or the goat. It's a covenant. You are cutting. And you will see that they also brought it from scripture. You see that in scriptures also. I will show you. They will say, bring this thing. And when you bring those stuff and they shed the blood of that thing, you are signing a contract in blood. And some of them, when they want to go deeper, they demand human blood. Bible says the life of anything is in blood, right? And Bible says the blood of Abel was still speaking. So anything you sign in blood speaks. That's the truth. Anything that is signed in blood talks, has a voice. And that's why they understand those things. No, let me even say this to you. I was talking to a friend of mine, and that's why we need to pray for Nigeria. With mercy, I say every token of blood that people have shed to control this nation, we can cancel it by the superior blood covenant we're talking about today. A friend of mine told me that a guy, a Muslim, wants to run for office, and he approached some of the parties. I won't mention the name of the party. And he says, oh, it's okay to want to run, but said, you have to bring any. It means bring somebody instead of you as a covenant. And man say, what do you mean by that? He said, bring human being that will sacrifice on your behalf, that will stand for you to run for this office. And man say, no, he's not as hard as that. I can go. I don't want. I remember years ago, a man that was also connected with some of the people in, I won't mention the name of the party, so I won't look at me one kind, came to see me as a doctor. And I know that he was very connected in the political space. I won't mention the party. And I said to him, after we consulted, I said, look, I want to be a senator. I told him. I said, I want to be a senator in Nigeria. The man said, doctor, what you are doing is good, though. This one, you want to... No, he told me. He said, I want to be a senator. He said, can you kill somebody? Or can they kill somebody on your behalf? I said, no, I don't want to. He said, okay. I said, I don't want to be a senator again. I want to be House of Rep. He said, you have to kill somebody also. I said, that one is still hard. I said, okay, I want to be House of Assembly. He said, oh, that one, you don't need to kill anybody. I said, that one is easy. I said this to say to you that these people understand the power of covenant. Why did they do all those things? It's to lock them in a covenant. You bring somebody, you bring a sacrifice, and you cut a covenant with them, you are locked in. Whatever they say, stand up, you stand up. When you say sit up, you sit up. When you say lie down, you lie down. Because you have cut a covenant in blood. And no, there's something in Yoruba, I don't know how they say in English, anybody dale abalelo. It means that if you denage your contract, you die. You pay with your life. They understand the power of the blood covenant. They do. For the church, no, we have our own blood covenant, but we don't understand the power, the potency of that blood covenant. I'm trying to show us here in scripture. No, in the olden days, when you have blood brothers, what they're saying, whatever is yours is mine. Whatever I need that you have, I can access it. And whatever I have that you need, you can access it. Your enemy becomes my enemy becomes your enemy. That was what it means. That's what blood covenant. When you become, and when they do those things, they actually cut themselves. And they mingle their blood together. And they drink the blood. They do. At best, what they do, if you don't want to drink, if you're the big boy, you nominate somebody that will stand in your stead. You cut the person and put the thing in, say, wine or something, drink. The person that stands for you will do the same thing, the other party, and they mingle the blood and they drink it. And they proclaim They are now blood covenant brothers. In that same ceremony, they will proclaim curses that if you break this covenant, such and such and such and such will befall you. And the other father will do the same thing. That's how covenant is caught in the olden days. Even the court, that's how they do it. But do you know that in the scriptures, there are covenants caught by blood? The first one that we'll look at is the one God caught with Abraham, our father. No, our father in faith. Now, like the scripture that we talked about, that cause is every man the angry train, that the blessing of Abraham might come upon us. The blessing of Abraham we talked about was secure by blood covenant. Secure by blood covenant. See, when God showed up to Abraham in chapter 12 of Genesis, it says, leave your father's country to a place I will show you. I will bless those who bless you. I will curse those who curse you. That was a promising note. But there's no seal on that promise note until he caught the covenant with him in Genesis chapter 15. All Abraham had was a promising note that God gave him. It says, leave your father's country, leave this place, and go to a place I will show you. All he had was a note of promise. I will do this for you if you fall. There's no seal. It's like God just said, go and do this. It's like I said, go and do this. If you do it, I will reward you. It's a word of my mouth. If I'm not going to honor you, if I didn't say I'm signing, I put a seal on this, it's still a promising note. There's no covenant. At the time he took off, he had a promise, not a covenant. He had a promise. But see, the only reason why Abraham believed that God would come true was because of faithfulness of God. God's faithfulness. Because he knew God is a faithful God, a covenant-keeping God that will not back down. He walked on the promising note. A time came in Genesis chapter 15. You'll see interaction, even let verse 1. After this thing, Genesis 15 verse 1, after this thing, the word of the Lord came to Abraham in a vision, saying, do not be afraid, Abraham. I'm your shield and your exceeding great reward. God was talking to him in a vision. And Abraham said to the Lord, what will you give me, seeing I go childless? I said, the heir of my house, Eliezer of Damascus, will be the one that take over. I have no offspring. And the alternative verse 4, and behold, the word of the Lord came to him, saying, this one shall not be your heir, but one who will come out of your own body will shall be your heir. God was still giving me a promising note. Then he brought him out and said, look at the heavens and the stars and number them. He said, so shall a descendant be. And the Bible says, he believed in God and was counted for him for righteousness. All he had of that time was still promising notes, not a covenant. It says he believed God. That word believe God means something else in Hebrew. It means to give yourself wholly to something. It means you are unqualified, committed. It was because Abraham was committed fully to the promising note that God gave him. God said, because you did this, it's accounted for you as right standing with me. Right standing with me. Look at verse 8. And he said, Lord, how shall I know that I will inherit it? He asked a question, valid question. Say, okay, you have given me promise notes all the while. Is there any assurance that this thing is real? In my mind, I'm sure Abraham understands covenant cutting. He said, it's good, or your word is good. I'm not doubting you. But how shall I know with a guarantee, with assurance, that this thing is true? God's response to him was strange. God didn't say, am I not God? Is my word not good enough? God said to him, bring me a three-year-old heifer, a three-year-old female goat, a three-year-old ram, a turtle dove, and a young pigeon. Then he brought it all to him and cut into half, down the middle, and placed each over each other. So the birds don't cut them. And when the vulture came to devour them, Abraham chased them away. And just to cut the story short, Abraham fell into a trance, and God started speaking to him that, look, this is what's going to happen. An assurance that this is real. Your people, your children will be in a strange land 400 years. Afterward, I will deliver them because the cup of Namara is not yet full. But the thing that struck me was verse 17. And it came to pass when the sun was down and it was dark, and behold, there appeared a smoking oven and a burning torch that passed between those pieces. On the same day, the Lord made a covenant with Abraham, saying, to your descendant, I will give this land. Who walked between those things? Say, a light torch walked between those two halves. And Bible said, God cut a covenant. That day, the promising note that God gave Abraham in Genesis chapter 12, the one he repeated in chapter 15 here, became a covenant sealed with blood that God can no longer turn away from. I want to suggest to you, sir, and man, that God actually is the one that walked between the two pieces, walked through the blood, to say, I'm committed to this thing. I'm making a commitment to this thing. Like I said, God did not say, I'm good enough. Say, bring these things. And what happened when they called them? The blood was shed, right? Blood was shed. And God walked between the blood as a sign of his commitment to his promise that he gave him. By the time you get to chapter 17, you see God making a demand from Abraham to shed his own blood too, as a commitment to the covenant. Isaac did not come before the cutting of the covenant on the part of Abraham. He didn't come. He came afterwards. So God said to him in verse 17, he said, and Abraham was 99 years old, and the Lord appeared to Abraham and said, I'm the Almighty, walk before me and be blameless. I'll make my covenant between me and you and multiply you. So God said, now it's time to solidify this covenant cutting thing. I said to him, and that day he gave him a covenant of circumcision. He says, from now on, everybody, male child in your house, must be circumcised. When you circumcise a man, you shed blood. So that's the token of the covenant. And said to him, from now on, everybody born in your lineage on the eighth day must be circumcised. So anyone that refused to get into this ceremony should be cut off from among your people. Chapter 17, we don't know how long. I don't know. Maybe we'll do a study on that, how long it took between the walking between by God and this. I don't know. But we should do a study on that. That day, that was a twofold covenant, complete nature of that covenant. And God said, now we are covenant brothers. We are in covenant. I said, the token for you to walk in this reality is that every male child was circumcised. Maybe you are wondering, how about the females? You see, the devil is a very bad devil. That's why all this free sex and all that is because the devil knows the introduction of the male gender was through sexual intercourse with a man. That's why blood is shed with every first act. It's an introduction of the woman to the covenant of Abraham. It's a blood covenant. And that's why when people mess around, when you mess around, you don't know that you are cutting covenant with a man or a woman. And you don't know, like somebody, don't know what they are carrying. You don't know what cause is going around them, what they are tying around. You just put your head. And then you are connected. And you know that even ritualists do those things. So they know because they understand the power of the blood covenant. Every of those occult people, they say, look, bring blood. That's what they do. That's what I ask them to. So for us as Christians, we also have a covenant with God. And do you know, based on this covenant that God cut with Abraham, a Jewish man, on the knowledge of the blood covenant, knows that Jehovah will fight for him. Knows Jehovah will be behind him. When they go to war, they go with an understanding of this covenant that Jehovah has said. And when they pray, they pray on the basis of covenant. Look at Jehoshaphat when he was praying. He said, we were told that Solomon, when he prayed, said, if there's pestilence, if there's anything, and we come to this place to offer a prayer, God in heaven will hear us. Covenant. 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 See, it's a consciousness that we must have. If you also look at Genesis 27, verse 37, you know, Abraham caught that covenant. Isaac was born, he was circumcised. The covenant came upon him. Jacob also was circumcised, the covenant came upon him. When Isaac was blessing Jacob, before Esau showed up, he emptied himself into the man. And when Esau showed up, he made this statement. The man said, "Do you have another thing to give me?" Say, Isaac answered and said unto him, "Behold, I have made him thy Lord, and all his brethren I have given unto him for servant. With corn and wine I have sustained him." Another way to look at it is with bread and wine I have sustained this man. I have empowered him with the power of the covenant. That's what he was saying. Said with corn, and that time said with grain, have I sustained him? What shall I do unto you now? That have given me a covenant power, grain and wine. It's type and shadow. So when you look at scripture, there's type and shadow. See, God knew that the Passover will come in this scripture. He said, I've strengthened with grain and wine. He knew that Jesus Christ is going to do this in the Passover to give us an access to empowerment. So this is like a covenant. He said, I've handed over to him the covenant blessing. I've handed over to him. That was it. I've strengthened him with grain and wine. He said, what can I do? I've handed over the covenant blessing. He's the carrier of the covenant blessing now. He's carrier of it. Just say, look at what I can tell you. When you become restless, if you become restless, then God will help you. He gave me a key. He said, that's a way out. Child of God, every Old Testament saints understand the power of covenant cutting. Even the people who are not Christians, they are now Jews. Remember that there's a tribe that deceived the nation of Israel under the leadership of Joshua. Gibeonites, that's the name. They came and said, we are from a fire. They saw how God has been dealing with all the people. I said, look, let us cut a covenant with these people. That's what they did. Say, let us cut the covenant with them. So we came from a far country. We know what God has been doing with you. But let us be covenant brothers. Let's cut the covenant. And they did. After they cut the covenant without consulting God, God says, you cannot be loose. When Saul killed them, what happened? God was angry with them. And they said, okay, what can I do? Say, let's kill this house of Solomon, Saul. That's what they did, right? It shows how committed, how powerful covenant between two people stands. You also know that if you look at Abraham, the Philistine also cut the covenant with him. They say, we see how God is using you. That's why they were envious. What did they exchange? Animals, right? They gave animals as a sign of animal, a token of the covenant. Can I submit to you that in the new birth, although you pray a simple prayer, it's so deep and spiritual. By accepting Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, what you actually did was cut a blood covenant with Jesus Christ, with God, in that simple statement. The blood covenant. The blood covenant. You said, from today, I surrender my life to you. Right? From today, Jesus Christ is the Lord of my life. The sacrifice on the cross said, you know that if you look at Romans 10, 17, talked about with your mouth confessing salvation, with the heart man believes. You also said, for my sake, Christ went to the cross. He rose from the grave on my behalf. That means you are saying, just like you said to us, when Christ went to the cross, we were there with him. He became a sacrificial lamb. He became a lamb that was slain to make peace between you and God, to cut the covenant between God. So Christ became the lamb that was slain to cut the covenant between man and God. So in that simple prayer, when you pray that prayer, when I pray that prayer, and if you have not prayed that prayer, you pray that prayer today, what you are saying, you are walking through the blood with God. And you are covenant, cutting a blood covenant with God. And you are saying, God, whatever I have that you require, you can have it. And God is saying, whatever is mine that you require, you can have it. That's how potent that power is. That's the. Now, let me also show you from Scripture. John 6, I think my brother also alluded to that. John 6, 52 to 57. Jesus Christ said something that very strange after eating half of his food. John's Gospel, chapter 6, 52 to 58. And Jesus therefore stood up. They was arguing against him. Can you give me New King James Version? I'm more than new school. NKJV, please. And the Jews therefore quarreled among themselves, saying, how can this man give us his flesh to eat? Next verse. Then Jesus said to them, most assuredly I say to you, unless you eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, you have no life in you. Say, except you eat my flesh and drink my blood, you have no access to eternal life, Zoe, God kind of life. Say, whosoever eat my flesh, no, just back to 54 again. 54 again, I don't know. Whoever eats my flesh and drink my blood has eternal life, and I will raise him up at the last day. God is saying to Jesus Christ that unless you call this covenant in the blood, Zoe life is not accessible. It's not accessible. So when we come to eat communion, it's not bread and wine, but it's reenacting a covenant commitment to the prayer that we prayed. Covenant commitment. And you are saying, God, I'm still committed to the demand of this covenant. And God says, I'm also still committed to you. I'm still committed to you. I'm still committed to you. So that's why Jesus Christ said, in that day, he was, no, the Passover lamb sacrifice was a type and shadow of this. After deliverance, no, every other thing was, they tried every, no, 4 seconds until 9, nothing broke. But the joker was the lamb. Was a type and shadow of Christ as a deliverer. As a deliverer. After they partook of the Passover lamb, the power of God was unleashed on Egypt and they were taken out. Right? And just like I said, I'm doing the same thing now. I'm doing the same thing now. It's time to deliver my people from the yoke of Satan. And I said, this is my body that was broken for you. And this is my blood that was shed for you. And if you look at that thing, when he said shed, he said the blood of the covenant. He didn't say just blood of the covenant. He emphasized that. Let's look at, turn the Bible to 1 Corinthians chapter 11. I need to see that with me. In verse 25. He says, in the same manner, he also took the cup of supper, saying, this cup is the new covenant in my blood. This cup, the wine, he said, represent the new covenant in my blood. In my blood. That's why I said, you must eat my flesh and drink my blood to have Zoe. To have Zoe. Child of God, if you have understanding of these things, then you know that that prayer that we prayed, it was not a simple prayer, is a covenant cutting ceremony in the blood of Jesus Christ. And that blood grant access to the very throne room, Father. No, see, the reason why you pray and you expect your prayer to be answered is because you have cut this covenant. God cannot say no to you. That's why scripture like, he that has joined himself to the Lord is one with the Lord. You see, when I become your blood brother, I'm one with you. If I show up, it's as if you also show up. If I go to any community and they know you are my blood brothers, everything you represent, I represent in that moment, in that community. Everything you stand for, when I show up as a blood brother, I carry your grace in that same place. The reason why when we pray, you expect God to answer your prayer because of covenant cutting. Abraham has no, he knows. No, the other thing about covenant, the fact that just to show that God also made a demand. When he asked for Isaac, It was to test his commitment to covenant, to the blood covenant they cut. He said, Isaac, your son whom you love, the one you love, sacrifice him. Give it up to me. I need it. Abraham cannot say no. No, why? Covenant. He knew. You understand the power of covenant. If your covenant brother demands whatever belongs to you, you are supposed to give it up. You are supposed to give it up. But the scripture says to us, because he knows that God said in Isaac, said, if I kill Isaac, God must raise him up. He also understands the power of dynamics. And look at, he said to him, he has given a promising note that in Isaac, he didn't say in Ishmael, he said in Isaac, God now made a demand on Isaac, sacrifice him. He doesn't know. He's part of the covenant demand. I cannot say no. He went. And God said, no, don't do it. Don't eat it. I'm not trying to tell you. Sir, what that says to us as Christians is that your life, my life, is not like my own. If God says jump up, you jump up. God says sit down, you sit down. And when you do that, and you also say, God, on the platform of the covenant I have in just Christ, I make a demand that nation of Nigeria turns out right. God cannot say no to you. See, it's the consciousness of the covenant that makes fathers become fathers. The reason why Abraham was able to intercede for Sodom and Gomorrah is because of covenant. He said, will God that I know will not do right and now righteous to pray with another? He was talking out. He said, I will speak one more time as a covenant brother. No, if Abraham has continued, God cannot say no to him. Do you know that? He said, will I do a thing and not speak to my friend? What God was saying, will I do a thing and not talk to my covenant brother? I pray this morning that we come as believers and begin to walk in a blood covenant consciousness. Begin to walk as a blood and see, that's why the Bible says it's not a shame to call you brothers. Why? Because you're a covenant brother. He said, I will sing in Hebrew, said, I will sing praises to you, O God, in the midst of confession among my brethren. You became a brethren of Lord Jesus Christ on the platform of covenant, sir, the blood covenant. And if we fulfill the demands of the covenant, heaven can no longer say no to you. That's the truth. That's the secret of powerful Christian living. Understanding who you are in Christ, understanding the potency in communion. I'll share a simple story that I understand about the power of communion. There's one exam I've been writing several times. I was failing, no problem exam, failing. The last time I wrote the exam that I passed, I was about to leave my house for the last stage of exam. And God said, go back and do communion. I didn't have wine, but I had milk and I had bread at home. I just stood, simple ceremony, not elaborate ceremony. And I just said, this is my bread, blah, 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 blah. This is my blood and all that. I drank and I went. Sir, man, I tell you the truth. I was about failing the exam. When they compiled my result, they said fail. For three fathers. When a father speaks for you, everybody keeps silent. Three fathers in that meeting, look at my marks. I said, this man is a good candidate. Look at his papers again. When father speaks for you, and I believe God my heart, it was the covenant cutting ceremony that had that money that made fathers, they were stared us to speak for me. And unfortunately for me, they actually did not calculate my maths properly. They looked at it and said, this man passed now, but they have pronounced me failed. I can tell you, this thing is so powerful. If you understand it, it's tearing up the demand of the covenant conscience that you have with God. We don't have enough time to talk, but I'm just saying this to say this to you. Go and study again about the blood covenant, what it stands for, then your life, your Christian work will be upright. You won't be, and your prayer life will be not be anyhow. And I can tell you that some prayers we pray in this part of the world that you will stop praying. You stop praying because you know that when you call the covenant with Lord Jesus Christ, something shifted, sir. Something shifted. The power of heaven came to stand by you. The grace that's upon Jesus Christ came over you. That's why it says, cursed is every man that hang on the tree. That the blessing of Abraham, the reason why the blessing came, because in that sacrifice, you caught a covenant. And the blessing has no choice but to come. Let's pray. Father, we thank you. Lord, we give you glory and honor. Lord, we bless you because you are faithful. You are faithful. You are faithful. Lord, in this small word, I've spoken to your people. Lord, enlarging our hearts. Enlarging our hearts. Enlarging our hearts. So that as your children, we can walk in the reality of the blood covenant we have in Jesus Christ. Father, we thank you. Lord, we honor you. In Jesus' mighty name. Hallelujah. I want you to eat this communion in a different way. Number one, I want you to plead the blood of Jesus Christ over your life. I say, is there anything that will stand in my way that will not allow the full impact? The Bible says, if you confess our sin, it's faithful and just to cleanse us from righteousness. Say, as we fellowship him, the blood of Jesus Christ cleanses us from everything, right? So just plead that, Father, today I want to eat this communion afresh in a new way, in new understanding. I want to stir up the fullness of the grace that this covenant stands for. Maybe there are difficulty in your life. There are things, it might be healing for your body. It might be your career that's stagnant. It might be your business stagnant. This communion can answer to it. It's a communion of liberation. Egypt could no longer hold back Israelites after the Passover with the type and shadow of what we're doing this morning. Favor was delivered by the Passover. Favor can be delivered by communion. Healing can be delivered by this also. There's nothing this covenant cannot answer to. There's nothing this covenant cannot answer. There's nothing this covenant cannot answer to. There's nothing this covenant. I want you to have faith this morning. Like I told you, I was failing, but the fathers were stirred up. There are people, I believe there's somebody here that the fathers in your community might need to speak up for you. After this today's communion, they will be stirred up. I didn't beg them. I didn't lobby them. Of their own volition, they decide to intervene. I see intervention by this communion on your behalf. Father, we thank you. We honor you. We bless you.
At one point or the other, since we started DFC conferences, an interesting thing, the two people God has used are also present here this morning. It's like a prophetic word at a time and a day. We come during EFC conferences that we don't even have to lay hands on people to be healed. That as the word of God go forth, as people respond in faith, people will be getting out of wheelchairs, things will happen supernaturally. And I just sense in my heart that the healing anointing is in this room this morning. You can feel the tangibility of it. Whether you are watching online, whether you are seated in here on site. This session, that's the last session of word for today that we're going into. It's Luke 5:17 is impressed in my heart because we are teaching about Jesus. The Bible says on a certain day, people were present, and as Jesus taught, the power of God was present to heal. Hear wave, technology is not a limit. Your heart is open to the Lord.
This message is brought to you by Lighthouse Christian Outreach Center. The Lighthouse, House 7, Plot 2/3, Kudrata Biola Way, Oregon, Ikeja, Lagos. For inquiries, please log on to www.lighthouseng.org. For more,